The angel of the Lord who talked with me returned and wakened me. As a man is wakened from his sleep, he asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a golden lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lights on it, and seven channels to the lights. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on the left. I asked the angel who talked with me, 'What are these things, my Lord?' He answered, 'Don't you know?' 'No, my Lord,' I replied. So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the cornerstone to shouts of grace, grace to it.' Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range throughout the earth.'" Let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come speak to us. Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you for the people of God. I thank you for your presence here. I thank you for your powerful word. Father, would you come now by the Holy Spirit and speak living words to us? The letter kills, but the words you give are spirit and life. Speak living words that impart to us grace, Lord, for the mountains. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Zechariah 4, verse 7 asks the question, "What are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel?" And I wonder, what are the mountains before you this morning? What are the lofty objectives that are before you? What are the things that you long to achieve in life? Perhaps you have some lofty goals that you've set. Maybe you have some good career goals or some relationship goals. Maybe you have some personal goals or some ministry goals that are burning in your heart, some big goals. We as a congregation, we have some lofty goals in front of us right now. The expansion of our parking lots this fall, the launch of the satellite campus in Stamford later on this year, the construction of the largest auditorium in Greenwich, Connecticut, to the glory of God. But I wonder, what are your mountains? What do you dream of accomplishing? To what new heights do you aspire? What pinnacles do you dream of reaching? What summits do you dream of scaling? What are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? What are the mountains before you? What are the looming obstacles that are standing in your way? What are the challenges that are holding you back from achieving your dreams? What are the problems that are standing in your way right now? What is the situation in your family? What's the situation in your finances? What's the situation in your physical health that is holding you back? What are the people standing in your way, the physical limitations that are hampering you? What is preventing you from moving forward towards the dreams God has given you? What are your mountains? Zechariah 4 is a word of encouragement to everyone who is facing a mountain. It was delivered by the prophet Zechariah to a man who was facing some major mountains in his life. His name was Zerubbabel, and he was the governor of Jerusalem. He had lofty objectives that he dreamed of accomplishing, but he also had some looming obstacles standing in his way. After 70 years of captivity in Babylon, Zerubbabel was called to lead God's people in the rebuilding of Jerusalem, specifically in the rebuilding of the temple. And the message of Zechariah 4 is a word of encouragement. God is telling Zerubbabel, "I am coming to give you the supernatural strength to speak grace to the mountains in your life." And beloved, I believe that God is here today, and I believe that God wants to speak a message of encouragement to somebody in this place today. If you're facing a mountain in your life, if you have some lofty objective that is eluding you, if you have some looming obstacles that are standing in your way, God wants to come and visit you by His Holy Spirit this morning, and He wants to give you an impartation of supernatural strength to speak grace to those mountains. As I look at Zechariah chapter 4, I hear the Holy Spirit speaking four words of encouragement to us, and I want to share them quickly with you this morning. Four words of encouragement that I hear in this chapter. The first word of encouragement that I hear is that God will supply us with supernatural fuel to flame on. God will supply us with supernatural fuel to flame on. We used to have a worship pastor here when I first came to Harvest Time in 1996. His name was Nelson, and one of Nelson's favorite expressions was flame on. I have no idea what that means. But Zechariah 4 begins with a vision of a golden lampstand. It's different from the lampstand that stood in the old temple. That lampstand had seven oil lamps on it, and it had to be carefully watched at all times because the oil lamps in the temple only had very shallow cups to hold the fuel. So the priest had to be vigilant at all times to make sure that the flame didn't go out. But this new lampstand that Zechariah sees is different. I call it lampstand 2.0. It has a huge golden bowl, a reservoir that is full of oil. And there are seven oil lamps around the bowl, each with seven wicks. And each one of those lamps has seven conduits running from the reservoir to the lamp to continuously supply it with oil. And as if that wasn't enough, there are two olive trees hanging over that golden reservoir that are continuously pouring oil in to refill the bowl. And Zechariah says, "What does it mean?" And the angel says, "You don't know what it means." And Zechariah says, "No. Do you know what it means?" "I didn't know what it meant." But the angel says, "Tell Zerubbabel this. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, this mountain shall be removed." And beloved, listen to me. The meaning of this vision in Zechariah 4 is a promise of supernatural supply. As I look at it, I see some encouraging words about what God is going to supply and how He's going to supply it. What God is going to supply is supernatural strength for life. There's a lot of conversation about what all these things represent in Zechariah's vision. But to me, the flames represent life. The flame represents that the community of God's people is alive and well. The flame represents the living presence of God in the midst of His people, making them the light of the world. In Zechariah 4, what the flame means is that Israel is alive. It's not dead. And to you and me, the flame means that the church is alive. It's not dead. We're alive and well, and we are still the light of the world. Do you know the flame is what makes the difference between a church that is alive and a church that's dead? You can feel it. Some places you go into and there's just no life there. There's no joy, there's no anticipation, there's no enthusiasm for what God is doing and what He has yet to do. And yet you walk into another place and it's alive, the people are alive, there's joy, there's a buzz of anticipation and enthusiasm and expectation that God is going to show up. What's the difference? The difference is the flame. The flame is what makes the difference between a church where nothing works and a church where everything works. The flame represents life. And this whole thing is a promise that God is going to continually supply you and me with supernatural strength that we need to flame on, that we need to prosper and to succeed in everything He's given us to do. You know, for all the times that I've read this passage and I've preached from it, there's a message in here that somehow I never caught on to before. And I think maybe it's because I was never 43 before. But the message that I see in this vision is that the superabundance of supply is telling us that we're going to need it. You see, the flame consumes the oil. The flame, it drains the cup in the lamp. It drains the reservoir. The flame requires a continuous supply. And the more of life I live, the more I realize that we need the continuous supply that God has promised us, because life is draining. Life is consuming. It consumes your strength, both physical and mental. It consumes your creativity. It consumes your confidence. It consumes your competitive edge. It consumes your resources. How many of you have found out it consumes your patience? It consumes your grace. I say to Pastor Nick all the time, I'm finding out why old Assemblies of God pastors are all so crotchety and mean. Because life is consuming. Ministry is consuming. You know, when I was 32, I became the senior pastor of Harvest Time, and I felt like my energy would never run out. And now that I'm 43, I don't feel like my energy has run out, but I no longer feel like it will never run out, because it's consuming. But beloved, listen, this is the awesome promise of Zechariah 4 to you and to me this morning. We have a promise from God that He is going to continuously supply supernatural strength for us to flame on. God says, listen up. He says, it's not by might and it's not by power. It is by my Spirit. Those two words together, might and power, what they mean is that they sum up the whole spectrum of human ability, physical strength, intelligence, creativity, confidence, cleverness, charm, influence, talents, abilities. It's the whole spectrum. Might and power sums up the whole spectrum of human ability. And God says, listen to me. He says, your ultimate success in life is not going to come by any of these things, but your success in life is going to come by the supernatural resources that I supply to my sons and daughters to accomplish exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. Don't have time to talk about it, but Pastor Nick teaches a class in Equip about the seven things that come through the supply of the Spirit. How many of you want to know what they are? The Spirit of strength, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel. If you want to know all of them, join Equip. But let me say this, what God supplies, listen, what God supplies is not just an unlimited quantity of human ability. What God supplies is an unlimited quantity of supernatural ability. Paul says this, he says, by the grace of God, I have become the success I am. By the grace of God, I have become the light to the Gentiles that I am. His grace toward me was not without effect. I worked harder than all the rest. I flew further. I accomplished more. I bore more fruit. I saw greater returns, but it wasn't me. It was the grace that God gave me. Somebody, God wants to speak a word of encouragement to you today and let you know that every situation you walk into in life, the minute you walk in the room, you have the upper hand because you bring with you a continuous supply of supernatural resources that are going to give you the edge in every situation. Grace to the mountains. So Some of you need to understand that your resume has a little something attached to it. There's a little grace from God attached to it that just gives it an edge in that whole stack of resumes. When you go for the interview, there's something about you that shines. There's something about you that stands out. You have an edge over all the other applicants because the grace of God is empowering you with a resource that the others do not have. Listen to me, beloved. God is big enough to prosper his people in the middle of this recession. He's big enough to cause us to flourish in the middle of this economic downturn. And God wants you to know, I am going to supply. I not only hear what God will supply, but how he will supply it. He will supply it in unlimited quantities and with an uninterrupted flow. This is good right here. Unlimited quantities and an uninterrupted flow. Remember a couple of years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine, an older man in ministry, and I was sharing with him some of the things we're working on and some of the things God is doing. And he said this to me. He said, Glenn, he said, you're in a very creative season in your life and in a very creative season in your ministry. He said, enjoy it because it will not last. And I remember when he said those words to me, I just refused to receive them in my spirit. I said, no, that's not right. Those aren't words of life. I was talking to another friend of mine, a pastor in Philadelphia, been friends for many years, and he's older, and we were visiting in his office, and I was telling him about what God is doing at harvest time and the growth and the good things, and he said, Glenn, he said, enjoy it. It will not last. And I said to myself, geez, I got to get myself some better friends. Beloved, that's not in line with the word of God. Listen to me. If somebody has told you your best days are behind you, don't you receive it in Jesus' name. If somebody's told you that your best opportunities have passed you by, don't receive it, because here's what God has said about you and me. He said, I am going to supply, supply, supply. I'm going to keep on supplying in unlimited quantities and in uninterrupted flow. We used to sing a song, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. God said, you want it, you got it. Your flame is not going to go out because your lamp is full of oil. Your lamp is not going to run out because the reservoir is full of oil. The reservoir is not going to run out because there are two olive trees that are continuously pouring oil into it. The olive trees aren't going to stop producing oil because it is God himself who makes them grow and bear fruit. God said, I shall supply all your needs, kata tu, not in proportion to the need, but in proportion to my ability to provide. Thank you, Jesus. And God will make all grace abound to you, so that at all times you have everything you need to barely get by. Isn't that what it says? Yes, it does. That's the Pentecostal version of the New Testament. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that at all times you have everything you need to just make it by the skin of your teeth. What's his word of promise to us? Listen to me. Someone needs to hear this. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should change his mind. He gives seed to the sower and he gives bread to the eater. If you have sown faithfully to the work of God, I don't care whether it was in this church or in another church, if you've sown faithfully to build the kingdom of God on earth, he will not forget what you have done. He will make all grace abound to you so that at all times you have everything you need to abound to every good work. First word of promise is that God is going to give us a continual supply of supernatural strength. The second word of promise that I see is that God is going to supply us with supernatural strength to tackle yesterday's rubble. God's going to supply us with supernatural strength to tackle yesterday's rubble. Zerubbabel was a man with mountains in front of him. He had a lofty objective. His dream was to rebuild the temple that was once one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. He had a lofty objective, but he also had some looming obstacles. What are you, O mighty mountain before Zerubbabel? It's kind of ironic that rubble is right in the middle of his name, because the mighty mountain in front of Zerubbabel was the mountain of rubble from the former temple. And before he could pursue those lofty dreams God had given them, he had to do something about yesterday's rubble. And beloved, I find that the same thing is true with you and me. A lot of times the thing that is holding us back from pursuing the dreams God has given us is yesterday's rubble. And God wants to speak a word of encouragement that he's coming to give you supernatural strength to tackle yesterday's rubble. He's going to supply you with supernatural strength to tackle the messes that you've inherited. If you think about it, it really wasn't fair. The challenge in Zerubbabel's life was a mess that he had inherited from another generation. You remember the whole story. God had brought Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He carried them on wings of a dove across the wilderness. He brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey under the reign of David and then Solomon. Israel became the premier nation on the earth. Jerusalem was described as the perfection of beauty. The Bible says that Solomon made silver and gold in Jerusalem as common as stones. But God's people were not faithful. They worshiped idols. They didn't walk in his ways. They forgot his worship. They didn't obey him. So after centuries of wooing and warning, God finally allowed Jerusalem to be destroyed and the people carried away to Babylon. After 70 years, God had mercy and they came back again. And now Zerubbabel and those with him are standing at a huge mountain of rubble, a mess that they had inherited from another generation. So many times, the mountains that you and I face are messes that were handed down to us from another generation. Addiction, abuse, anger, dysfunction, poverty, ignorance, demonic strongholds. You know, Peter says Christ came to set us free from the empty way of life that was handed down to us from generation to generation in our families. And you know, it's not really fair, is it? But we still have to deal with it. Not our fault, but we still have to do something with it. I can remember when I was 24 years old, I had a tremendous turning point in my life. Shared with you about my dad, who was an alcoholic. My parents separated when I was 16 and divorced after that. And when I was 24 years old, I was a very angry young man. I was bitter, really, with both of my parents. Even though my mom hadn't done anything wrong, I was just bitter that they hadn't been able to get themselves together, and it affected me. And I remember one day, I had a moment where God really helped me to turn a corner. And I realized that my parents both loved me as best they could in spite of their brokenness. And I realized that I had a choice to make. I could spend the rest of my life sulking and blaming them, or I could live. And I decided I wanted to live. And beloved, God wants to talk to somebody in this place today and tell you that he's here with supernatural strength to speak grace to the messes that you have inherited from other generations of your family, the things that were passed down to you, the things that you were innocent and just a victim. He's here to speak grace to that mountain. He's not only here to give you strength to tackle the messes you inherited, but he's here to give you strength to tackle the messes that you've created. How many of you know, not all the messes in our life are messes we inherited? How many of you know, the worst messes in our life are the messes that we've created ourselves? It's true that Zerubbabel and those with him had inherited a big pile of rubble, but the reality is that they had made mistakes that perpetuated the situation, that created more layers of complication on the situation. They had created some messes of their own. They had been back in Jerusalem for 20 years. When they first came back, they started to move that pile of rubble. They started to repair the temple, the foundation of the temple, but then they got distracted. They began to build homes and build businesses, and they got wrapped up in the stuff of life, and they forgot all about worship. So the temple project had a delay for 17 years. You know, it's when we get distracted that the messes happen in our life. It's when we get distracted from our priorities of loving God, of loving our families, of doing what's right and walking in obedience to His Word. That's when the messes happen. And beloved, for some of us, the piles of rubble that we're dealing with are from the messes that we've created ourselves. Broken relationships, missed opportunities, financial problems, even health problems. But God is here today to tell us that He wants to give us supernatural strength to speak grace to those mountains in our lives. What verse 7 of Zechariah 4 is describing is a new beginning. There's a word in verse 7 that the NIV translates capstone, not a very good translation. The King James headstone is even better, or cornerstone. In Bible times, when a sacred structure was destroyed, like the temple, and it was going to be rebuilt, there would be a ceremony. And an official, a king or a priest, would go into the pile of rubble. And he would find in the pile of rubble a stone that was fit to be used for a cornerstone. And he would carry it out of that pile of rubble. And with shouts of joy and exclamation, he would plant that cornerstone as a symbol of a new beginning. That's what Zechariah 4 verse 7 is describing. God is saying, Zerubbabel, go into that mountain of ruins and find in there a cornerstone and carry it out and shout grace, grace to it, and out of yesterday's rubble is going to come a new beginning. Beloved, listen to me. The New Testament tells us that the cornerstone is Jesus. He is the stone that the builders rejected that has now become our chief cornerstone. And the Holy Spirit wants to talk to somebody in this place this morning and tell you that it is time to come out of the rubble of yesterday's failures. It's time to come out of the rubble of yesterday's heartbreaks, yesterday's losses and pain, and God is coming to you right now to give you an impartation of supernatural strength to walk out of that pile of rubble, holding on to Jesus, the cornerstone, and grace, grace is coming on you for a new beginning. Old things are passed away, and everything is being made new. Grace to the mountain. Instead of yesterday's addictions, God is speaking over you grace for a new beginning. Instead of yesterday's anger, God is speaking over you grace for a new beginning. Instead of yesterday's abuse, God is speaking grace over you for a new beginning. Instead of yesterday's failures and mistakes and the screw-ups and everything that went wrong, God is speaking grace, grace over you for a new beginning. Strength to tackle yesterday's rubble. A third word of encouragement. God is going to supply us with supernatural strength to succeed in spite of today's troubles. He's going to supply us with supernatural strength to succeed in spite of today's troubles. Zerubbabel not only had the mountain of yesterday's rubble to deal with, but he also had plenty of present day trouble. God wants to speak to us a word of encouragement and tell us that in spite of whatever troubles it is that we are facing today, that God is going to give us complete success. There were skeptics who didn't think that he was going to be able to do it. Oh, come on, Zerubbabel. It's been 20 years already. Give it up. It's not happening. You ever had somebody hit you with something like that? Oh, come on. You pray and you pray and you pray and nothing changes. Where is your God? Where's your answers? You worship and you work and you give and God hasn't come through for you. You know, we had skeptics when we went to buy this land and build this building. Harvest Time was in a rented building for 20 years before we moved into this church. And when we decided we were going to buy a piece of property and build a new building, there were people who said, you will never do it. Not in Greenwich, Connecticut. You'll never be able to afford land here. You'll never be able to build something here. Well, guess what? Here we are. And not only did we build it, but we filled it up 6 times every weekend. We've outgrown it completely. God said, tell Zerubbabel this. Tell him, your hands have started it, and your hands are going to finish it. And beloved, God wants to speak an encouraging word to somebody in this place today. The good work that he has began in you, the good work that he has began through you, God is going to finish in your life. The good work that he started in your household when he saved you, he is going to bring it to completion. When God saved you, he didn't save only you. He saved you because he loved you, but he saved you to be the first fruits in your family. He saved you to be the first fruits of every member of your household coming to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved and your whole house. God wants to tell you today that the good work he started in you, the good work he has started through your hands. Tell Zerubbabel, tell him your hands started it. Your hands are going to finish it. Beloved, God is not going to leave undone what he has started in and through you. Somebody here needs to receive encouragement from the Lord. You started into a venture and you've hit all kinds of delays. You've hit all kinds of snags and problems, things you didn't expect. And God wants to speak to you today and tell you the delay is not going to defeat you. You might have been set back a little bit. You might have been a little bit more challenged than you thought, but God wants you to know you're going to finish what you started. Phase 2 is going to be finished. We started it. We're going to finish it. And God's going to grant us complete vindication. Not only did Zerubbabel have skeptics, but he had critics. Who despises the day of small beginnings? See, there were some people around who remembered the former temple. There were some old timers who remembered the building that was the centerpiece of the city that was called the beauty of perfection. There were a few old timers who remembered the building that had been one of the wonders of the ancient world. And they said this, they said to Zerubbabel, well, you might start it, you might even finish it, but it'll never be as good as that other building. You ever had somebody say something like that to you? Tell them to be quiet in the name of Jesus. Who despises the day of small beginnings? Doesn't look like much. Doesn't look like anything's going to happen. I had a meeting in Manhattan this last Wednesday with our architects. We were looking at the revisions to the Phase 2 sanctuary. And they actually went in. They were showing us computer-generated pictures of the indoor of Phase 2. And they had the screens, the projection screens. And they had gone into the Assemblies of God website. And they had pulled an image that said, nothing's impossible for God. So we got to the whole end of the review of the design. And then they started asking us about the budget. And I said, we don't have any money. And they all did their little Manhattan laughs. Ha, 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 ha. I said, no, you don't understand. We don't have any money. They think I'm a comedian. They don't believe me. I said, go back to the picture with the screens and say, nothing's impossible with God because we don't have any money. who despises the day of small beginnings? Men will rejoice when they see Zerubbabel standing on top of the wall, finished and done. Beloved, God wants to speak a word to you and me to tell us that He is coming to give us strength to finish what He's called us to do. And God is going to vindicate our faith. People said it'll never be as good as it was before, but God heard their criticism and He spoke through the mouth of the prophet and He said, some of you remember the glory of the former house, but I tell you that the glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former house. Beloved, listen to me. Holy Spirit wants to speak over your life and tell you today, your latter will be greater than your past. Somebody told you your best days are behind you. God says your latter will be greater than your past. Somebody said it's because you messed up. Your life will never be as good as it was or as good as it could have been. But God says your latter will be greater than your past. Somebody told you the best opportunities have passed you by. The parade has passed you by. But God says your latter will be greater than your past. Beloved, listen to me. Receive the word of the Lord. Your brightest days are ahead of you. Your happiest days are ahead of you. Your most fulfilling days are ahead of you. Your most prosperous days are ahead of you. Your healthiest days are ahead of you. The best relationships of your life are ahead of you. The best business success of your life is ahead of you. Your latter will be greater than your past. One final word of encouragement to leave with you, and then we're done. Pastor Nick, you can come help me. God is going to give us supernatural strength to flame on. He's going to give us supernatural strength to tackle yesterday's rubble. He's going to give us supernatural strength to succeed in spite of today's trouble. The final word of encouragement is this. God continuously supplies all of this to those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Zechariah 4 and verse 10, the very end of that verse is a partial quotation of a scripture. He says, these seven, what seven? The seven lamps on the lampstand. He said, these seven are the seven eyes of God that range throughout the earth. A little bit of a weird scripture. It's a partial quotation of a scripture that appears in 2 Chronicles 16:9. And that verse, the full verse, says this: the eyes of the Lord range through the earth, listen, to strengthen the hearts of those who are fully committed to Him. The eyes of the Lord range through the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. What does that mean? What that means is you don't have to even go looking to God for help. He's looking out to help you. God's eyes are searching all over through the earth every day. His eyes are moving back and forth, looking for His faithful ones, looking for His beloved ones who need His help, who need His intervention, who need His assistance. The eyes of the Lord are roaming back and forth throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. That means even before you ever go looking for help from God, He's already been looking out for you to help you. Have you seen those vehicles on the highway, those help vehicles for people who get broken down on the side of the road? They patrol up and down 287 and 684. And if you get stuck before you could even make a 911 call, a help vehicle comes up behind you and they come to bring you help. That's what that means. The eyes of the Lord are like a help vehicle running up and down the highway of your life. And before you can even call 911 and say, God, I need your help, God says, there's one of my loved ones. He needs me today. He needs some wisdom today. He needs some some strength today. He needs some patience today. He needs some provision today. He needs a job to open up today. He needs a bonus today. He needs to make a sale today. There's one of my loved ones. I'm looking out to help him out. Beloved, be encouraged. Be encouraged. God is speaking a word of grace to your mountains. Grace to the mountain. Grace to the mountain. Grace to the mountain. What are you, O mighty mountain? You will come down and be a level plain. Grace to you. Come on and stand up in this place. And I want you to give the Lord a big praise. Come on, let's give the Lord a big praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a big praise. Give the Lord a big praise. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice. Pastor Nick, help us. Savior, He can move the mountains.
He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus,
come on, lift up your voice, Savior.
Yes, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus, come.
Shine your light on me.
Yeah. Shine your light and let the whole world sing. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world sing. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Come on, sing it again. Savior.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Come on, give one more big praise to the Lord in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands in the air. Lift your hands in the air. Lift your hands in the air. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I speak the word of your grace over every mountain in this place. I speak grace to every family, Lord, that is in conflict. I speak grace to marriages. I speak grace to relationships between parents and children in Jesus' name. I speak grace to everyone, Lord, who's struggling.